to page 265, choir stand, church stand, and let's sing about the love that lifted me. All right, church.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained with sin, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
On the last now,
souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. That's great singing. Church, you can be seated. Choir, you can be seated again. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. On this great Lord's Day, I told the choir this morning, the Lord sent us some rain. Amen. Just what we needed. Hallelujah. But He sends the sunshine and sends the rain. He does always know exactly what we need, and we're thankful for that. I also want to kind of touch on this morning. If you want a blessing, get you a list of all of the speakers for Jubilee. You say, well, that's going to be a blessing to me. Yes, it will. I promise you, if you will take the time out, send a card, put a little note in there, and say, I'm praying for you. See, we don't understand what these speakers might be going through this week, next week, and the week after, before they get here for our Jubilee. These men are not just sitting around waiting to come to Calvary. Amen? You remember when Brother Snyder would go and speak to all of the Jubilees and revivals and all the times and places that he would go, and then would go and speak or come and speak? They are busy week after week and day after day pastoring and preaching, and then they're going to come to our revival. They stand in need of prayer. Amen?
Amen.
And it is so encouraging. I've heard them come in and say, you do not even know what it meant to me to open up that card and just see that you're praying for me. It'll be a blessing to them, and in return, God will bless you. So take an opportunity and be a blessing to someone. I promise you, it'll be a blessing to you in return as well. Also, please don't forget, on February the 22nd, here at the church, on that Saturday at noon, there'll be it'll be game day again. Bring lunch. It'll be a great time of fellowship. And it'll be a lot of fun for you for the seniors. Game day, February 22nd, Saturday at noon. That's this coming Saturday, so please don't forget about that. Choir practice will be immediately following COU and Brotherhood. Please pray for Brother Joe and Miss Lynn. She definitely has the flu, and Brother Joe got up feeling like he was headed toward it this morning. And so we really need to lift them up in prayer. Miss Connie's not feeling well. She's not able to be with us this morning. A lot of folks are sick, and a lot of folks are going through some very difficult times physically, so we want to lift them up in prayer. I want to introduce the very newest member of our choir. We've made a little bit of a transition this morning. For years, as long as I've been here at Calvary, it's always been from high school up would be the adult choir, from high school up. This morning we have made a transition, and from this point on it's going to be from middle school up. Would you please notice our very new choir member, Miss Lily? Will you stand? There's our newest choir member, Miss Lily, has joined the choir this morning. She's in middle school. And so from this point on, from middle school up, if you're interested in being a part of the choir and you're in middle school, you come and see me. We're going to see if we can't boost the choir a little bit. Amen? She has so much talent, so much talent. And I am so excited about her being in the choir. If you're interested, you come see me, our pastor, and we'll talk to you about that. And we're so excited. we've lost, Brother Harold lost his background singers. Now you'll be able to see them sing. Amen. But we're excited about it, and we're excited about the choir, and we're excited about Jubilee. Amen. God's got something in store for Calvary. You go ahead and make Jubilee a time of prayer, and spend some time in prayer before the Lord. I believe He's got something great in store for us for Jubilee. Please pray for our young folks this next coming week. Take a card. Invest a little bit of time, and I pray for our young folks and those that will be working with them. Pray for Brother Brian, that the Lord would use him as he speaks to them this week. And may the Lord do something great in your heart and in our church today. Amen? Amen. Pray for our pastor this morning. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and just ask him to be with us in a powerful and a mighty way. Someone stands in need of salvation. I feel it in my heart this morning. So you pray that the Lord would touch someone's life today. Father, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you, Lord. As we sang this morning, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the time that I got up, and I went to an old-fashioned altar, Lord, and I accepted you as my personal Savior. My life was forever changed. Oh, and God, I'm so thankful for that day when you changed my heart forevermore. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for salvation that is full and free. Lord, there may be someone in this place today that's never accepted you. Maybe that you are already speaking to them this very moment. And Lord, I pray that this would be the day, this would be the hour, Lord, that they come to know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you would so fill this place with your Holy Spirit today. Use our pastor as he preaches your precious word. Lord, draw us closer to you today, Lord, than we were when we came in. Lord, I pray that you touch the offering today, both the gift and the giver. Lord, be with those that are sick and unable to be here today. But God, fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Be with Brother Stephen as he prepares for tonight. I know that you've given him a word to bring to Calvary. Lord, I pray that you touch his heart, touch our hearts to be open to receive it. Give us a great day in your house. We'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished. Be with those that will speak to our brotherhood, COU today. Much is going on here at Calvary. Lord, but may we be very careful to involve you in everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
consider his love, we just want to sing unto the Lord and say, I love you, Lord.
Amen. It's good to be here this morning. And appreciate the choir. Appreciate you, Brother Allen. What a joy it is to be able to sing in the choir. And when I first got saved, I started singing in the choir and have sang since. So I love music. I believe that gospel, singing the good gospel music is definitely a good way to prepare for the preaching of God's word. And music has a way of getting into that inner core. And so we love Christian music. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 6. Didn't say that. Said that. Joshua chapter number 6 this morning. And I want to look at some things out of the first 5 verses of the book of Joshua. I believe that the Lord has something specific for this particular service, as I believe He does for every particular service. And so I want to do my best to try to be the conduit, if you will, by which God brings His word this morning. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to summarize what's going on in the book of Joshua up until chapter number 6. Father, we come in Jesus' name one more time. And Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful that You change lives. Lord, we're thankful for the love that You showed on the cross. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that You would hide me behind the cross and help me, Lord, to cross over the things to Your people that You placed within my heart. Let me not say anything that would hinder the gospel, but Lord, help me only say the things that would please You. I love You. I thank You and I praise You for all that You've done, all that You're doing, and all that You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. The book of Joshua, we'll read in verse number 1 of chapter 6 in just a moment. But we know, and those who study the scriptures know, that Joshua is Israel's new leader and also the successor of Moses. And he begins in chapter number 1 being challenged by God. Those that read scriptures know that God challenged Joshua in chapter number 1. He challenged Joshua to pick up where Moses left off. We know that Moses never did enter in Canaan's land. He seen the land and then he died. I wonder how that must have felt. Spend your whole life being a shepherd and not being able to enter in. But nonetheless, there was Joshua, and he was a successor of Moses. And the Lord had commissioned him to be this military leader and to lead His people into Canaan land. And this, of course, would be the conclusion of the exodus that started from Egypt, leading God's people out of Egyptian bondage into the promised land. Now, we all know that it didn't have to take these many years to do so, over 40 years. It could have happened within days. There's scripture that says that God could have led them through the way of the Philistines and been there in a week. But through disobedience, of course, it postponed this blessing. But we know that God challenged Joshua to take His people, to pick up where Moses left off, and to lead them over Jordan's River into the promised land. Also in chapter number 1, we know that not only God challenged Joshua, but He encouraged Joshua. Chapter number 1 and verse number 9, The Bible says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And so this is how Joshua's campaign starts. It starts by receiving that spiritual torch to continue on toward God's best. And now Joshua has received the challenge and he has received the encouragement. And now the only thing left to do is do it. I want to say this morning that we all have been commanded and challenged to go into new territory spiritually. I believe that the abundant Christian life is yet to be claimed. There is much more grounds to cover. There is more joy to be had out there within the realms of spirituality. There's more of Jesus we need. And so we see these things in chapter number one. In chapter number two, we see that Joshua is leaning upon a system that Moses taught him. In chapter number two, and of course I'm paraphrasing here and summarizing, but in chapter number two, Joshua, he does some prep work and he sends out a couple spies into the land. You know that Joshua, and in fact it was Joshua and Caleb, the two of them that were chosen of Moses to go into Canaan land and spy out the land beforehand. And they had a good report. And the other ten had a bad report. And so in chapter number two, Joshua is doing prep work. He is preparing for this trip. He is preparing for this battle. And let me just say, while it's here on the surface, we too need to prepare ourselves for the journey. We need to prepare ourselves daily for the battles that await us. There's giants out there. There are strongholds out there. And we, as Joshua was preparing, he was spying out the land with a couple men. So do we need to do the same thing. We need to prepare ourselves for battle. Chapter number three is the actual crossing of the Jordan River. And you'll find out that the miraculous power of God allowed the waters to go back upon a heap, as was in the Red Sea. And the priests were bearing the Ark of the Covenant, which was a type, or it was the presence of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant was used there in the tabernacle by the priest on the Day of Atonement. And we know that when the blood was applied between the two angels where their wings were overshadowing, that the Shekinah glory of God was there. And so they had the presence of God. And they went into the Jordan River and the waters went upon a heap that crossed over on dry ground. And that was in chapter number three, the crossing of Jordan River by the miraculous power of God. And then in chapter number four, I want you to notice, in chapter number four, we have the monument of remembrance. They made a monument of remembrance of what God can do. It was a heap of 12 stones. One stone per tribe was placed in a heap. And this heap of stones was to be a monument of remembrance. One day the kids will come up and say, "Daddy, Mama, what do these stones mean?" And that would be opportunity, of course, for the kids to say, there was a time in life when there was just a block in our life. We could not go no further. The blessings were on the other side of the Jordan River. We could not cross the Jordan River, but God rolled it back on a heap. And by his power and by his presence, we crossed through. And so there was a monument there. And so we see that in chapter number four. In chapter number five, we have the end of the manna, but the start of the fruit of Canaan land in chapter number five. And so Joshua, this is the course he's taken. He starts in chapter number 1 by being challenged and by being encouraged. Chapter number 2, he's sending out the spies. He's doing prep work. Chapter number 3, they cross the Jordan River. Chapter number 4, they make a monument of remembrance. Chapter number 5 is the end of the manna and the beginning of the fruit there in Canaan and Gilgal. And now we get to chapter number 6, Jericho. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1 because there's some things that take place in Jericho that they were suited up for. And Joshua had received instructions on how to take care of the situation at Jericho. In verse number 1, I want you to notice, of Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And so now we have Jericho. Again, they're going and working their way into Canaan. They're in Canaan, but Jericho is the first place they get to. But it's a place where it was fortified. This place, Jericho, had fortified walls. And this place, Jericho, was a place that was fortified from within. It was a place that had to go. While Canaan was theirs, this Jericho and these Jericho leaders and kings had taken up residence. They had their own leaders and they had their own kings within these walls of Jericho. Jericho was not in the plan of God. Jericho had to go. It wasn't part of God's plan for Jericho to be in such a place as it was, being fortified with leaders and kings and such as that. There was even idolatry going on in Jericho. All kinds of things. There was molten images in Jericho taking place. Not only in Jericho was a stronghold, but also if you go on and you read, we won't now, but in chapter number 7, you'll find out that, and in chapter number 8, there's also a place called Ai. And Ai also was a stronghold. And as we study the scriptures, and as you study the scriptures, we all find out that this place, Canaan land, had strongholds, but also had giants there. Yet it was a place that was here for God's people. So this place, Jericho, being fortified with leaders and kings. And in fact, in verse number 2 says that there were mighty men of valor in Jericho. The only problem was that this fortified stronghold had no right being there. This was the first place that Joshua and the children of Israel approached that had to go. In Scripture, Canaan land is a type of the abundant Christian life that Christ has for us. At the same time, there can be Jerichos in our life. There can be things in our life. There can be strongholds in our life. There can be things on the thrones of our hearts in our life that are leading our lives. We can have kings upon our hearts in our own lives. I said a moment ago that Jericho actually had idol worship and molten images. And it talks about the silver and the gold. And the things along those lines. I want to say this morning that if we're not careful, many of us, all of us, and probably most of us at times have experienced these Jerichos or Ais or giants. Canaan land is a type of the abundant Christian life that Christ has for us. But at the same time, there can be these obstacles in the way. There can be these things that form and build. And as we look at Joshua this morning, let's see what he did as he led the children of Israel. Let's see what his approach was. Let's see how he handled Jericho. So this morning, I want to preach a few moments on this subject, taking Jericho. What is it this morning in your life that is a possible stronghold? What is it this morning that's on the throne of your heart? Who's leading your life? What king is on the throne of your heart? I hope it's Jesus. I hope Jesus is leading things, and I hope he is the king of your heart. And I hope there are no other kind of images of idol worship. And somebody said one time, what is idolatry? Idolatry is just anything you put before Christ. You see, here is Jericho in Canaan land. But it's the first place that Joshua got to, and it must be taken care of. It could not go undone. It was a stronghold. So I want to mention a few things this morning about this place, Jericho, taking Jericho. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 1, the particular details of Jericho. The particular details. I want you to notice in verse number 1, it was a restricted place. The Bible says, now Jericho, listen to this, was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. It was a restricted place. And it says it was straightly shut up. This place was barred and bolted. It was closed. Now, the scripture says that it was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. If you go back and read, you'll find out that when Israel crossed the Jordan River, word got around of the power of God. And word got around of the leadership of Joshua. And in chapter number 5, notice if you would in verse number 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. And so we see that the fame of Joshua and the fame of the power of God was spreading. And so they greatly feared the children of Israel. And so here in Jericho, man, they shut the place down. Barred and bolted, barred and bolted, barred and bolted. Here they come, children of Israel, Joshua. Man, God separated those waters, rolled them back upon a heap. They crossed over. And so barred and bolted, everything locked up. Bible says straightly shut up. It was restricted from anyone on the outside. And all of this was because of God bringing them through the Jordan River. And all the inhabitants of Canaan were discouraged. And so it was barred and bolted. But we have a restricted place. It wasn't open to God nor his people. And I wonder in our life, is there any restricted places? Anything that is barred and bolted, not open for God or his people? So many times in life as we live as Christians and our responsibilities from day to day, it's easy to allow things to creep in if we're not careful, little by little, especially if we don't judge those things as we approach those things. Well, a little bit here, a little bit there. I'll take care of it Sunday. A little bit here, a little bit there. We don't judge those things. If we're not careful over time, what we'll find is that we are barred and bolted to the things of God. We'll give God a little bit here. And we'll give God a little bit there. But we won't give God everything. Well, the question this morning is, why won't we give God everything? Is there an area this morning that's restricted from serving God? Is there an area that's barred and bolted? We've been living in our house now probably going on a year. And I can't say everybody has a room like this in their house. But we have a catch-all room. And I didn't rehearse that with Christy this morning, so it's all right. It's organized clutter catch-all room. And, it's an organized clutter catch-all room. And so when, we trying to get the place shaped up, and have people over, had a couple people, and, want to have others over. We'll show them this room, and we'll show them the living room, and we'll show them, this room, and I'll even show them the patio on the back porch. I ain't going to show that room. That's the catch-all room. You see, that's the restricted room, because, I'm not proud of that room. There's boxes there, says Home Depot, and, there's Kroger bags in that room with stuff in there from past VBSs. I'm not proud of that. And so there's a restriction when we have people over. But, I wonder sometimes, am I that way with God? I'll give God this part of my life that everybody sees on Sunday. I'll make sure it's polished up. I'll make sure it's studied up. I'll make sure it's prayed up. But that Monday morning, Justin, what about him? Huh? What about you, church, on Monday morning? What is it still the Sunday church on Monday? And listen, this is something that Joshua encountered as he was picking up where Moses left off, and he led them through the miraculous experience of the Jordan River. Now they're in Canaan. The manna just stopped and the good fruit just started, and now there's Jericho, fortified. Wait a minute. This fortified place, Jericho, Canaan land, that's our land. It's not supposed to be there. We're supposed to enjoy that part of the land. We're supposed to have free access to all the land. What is this doing here? It is a restricted part. It's being ruled and it's being ran. There's leadership going on within the walls of that Jericho. There's idolatry going on within the walls of that Jericho. There was a restricted part here. And it's always possible for God's people going from one, from one pathway to the next, along following God through life on this pilgrim pathway we're on, the journey of life. It's so easy at times to hold on to stuff and say, God, I'll let you have this in my life, and I'll let you have that in my life, but I'm barred and I'm bolting this area of my life. So we find that Jericho was a restricted place. The Bible says that now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. Notice this, not only it was a restricted place, but it was a restless place. Now, Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. And notice this, none went out. None came in. That tells me it was a lot of restlessness on the inside. If I was the leader of Jericho, within those walls, if I was a king, if I had any kind of influence, I would say, let's bring a peace treaty to Joshua. We're going to die. Come on, let's go out here. Let's present some kind of peace treaty, some kind of Joshua, we messed up. This land is your land. It's not our land. You know, it's over. Here you go. Peace treaty. None went out. None came in. It was a barred and bolted place. Everything that was on the inside was total restlessness. There was no peace. Could not be no peace in there. No one, there is no indication of a peace treaty here. There is no indication, and this is just what I'm gleaning from this. I'm kind of just reading between the lines here, what Justin Hales thinks. There is no indication of a peace treaty. There is no indication of any negotiation here. The Bible just says that none went out and none went in. It was a restless place. And they were restricted. The place did not belong to these people. It belonged to God's people. And it was restricted. It was barred. It was bolted. It was restless. It was a place where there was no peace. And I want to say that in life, when we get to those places where God, you can have this, God, you can have that, but you cannot have this, I want to say that makes for one restless life. One restless life. When we say, no, God, you're not having this. I'm keeping it shut into myself. I want people to see the Sunday, Justin. I'm keeping this to myself. I'm not doing it. I'm not giving it to you. I'm keeping it barred. I'm keeping it bolted. I'm keeping it restricted. Guess what? There is going to be an imbalance with Justin. There is going to be the lack of peace with Justin. And while nobody's perfect in this room, you can pursue peace and have peace. You can live a life where every door is accessible to Jesus. You can live a life where you are balanced and level-headed and you can minister and deal with people. You can do that. But these people here, they were restricted. They were restless. And we're talking about particular details of Jericho. They came to Jericho. They started to eat the fruit of the land. And now they experience this restricted place, this restless place. I mentioned this a moment ago, but I'll mention it again. But it was a religious place. There was silver and gold, vessels of brass and iron. No doubt there were the iron works of the city, utensils for eating. But also there were the molten images for worship use, idolatry worship. We're in chapter number 6. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18. We have instruction here from God to Joshua, to the men, that after the walls fell down, when they were to go in, they were not to take of any of the gold, the silver. It was only to be for the treasury of the Lord, because most of it was used for idol worship. Verse number 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So now, no doubt this was a religious place. There was false idol worship going on the inside. It was restricted. It was religious. It was restless. Are we putting anything before Jesus this morning? Anything? Are we lifting up anything as these utensils and as these molten images of silver and brass were found in Jericho? Is there anything of idolatry type worship found in our life? Are we putting anything before Jesus? It was a religious place. It was a restless place. It was a restricted place. But then I want to mention something else about taking Jericho. Not only the particular details of Jericho, but the plans of taking Jericho. The plans of taking Jericho. And so we see the particular details. What about the plans? Verse number 2, this plan had to do with assurance. He says in verse number 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. The plans of taking Jericho had to do with assurance. God was assuring Joshua the victory was his. He said, the king is yours, the mighty men are yours. You are a victor in this battle. You can have that restricted place. You can have victory over that restricted place. Need I remind all of us this morning what Philippians 4:13 says, that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If God be for us, Romans, if God be for us, who can be against us? We see that the plans of taking Jericho in part had to do with assurance. And I want to say this morning, whoever you are, whatever place in your life that is restricted, and you may be here this morning and be restless and all those other things that follow that, you have the power to overcome. God has given all of us, those that are saved and know Him, you have the assurance that God will help you overcome. You don't have to live a life of restriction in a bad way. Jericho wasn't part of the plan. Jericho had to go. Jericho could go. I want you to notice that the plans of taking Jericho had to do with an assurance, but the plans of Jericho also had to do with an endurance as well. Look in verse number 3. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. It has to do with endurance, this plan does. And what I mean by endurance, I mean they were to faithfully endure. Faithfully endure. Now, faithfully endure, meaning the Bible says in verse number 3 that they were to go round about the city once. One day. Wake up the very next day. Go around the city a second time. 2nd day. Wait, 3rd day. 4th day. 5th day. 6th day. But on that 6th day, 7 times. I'm sure this kind of plan didn't make much sense to Joshua. But Joshua faithfully endured it. He led it, and they followed. And I want to say that sometimes in life, listen, it isn't always having to do with disobedience. Sometimes God leads us and He guides us down pathways that we're not even sure of. But if we know that He has sent us, then we just faithfully endure it, though it may not make sense. One day, parking it for the evening. Next day, parking. 3rd day. And then on that 6th day, 7 times. 7 times. Or on the 7th day, ye shall compass the city 7 times. 7 times on that 7th day does not make a lot of sense, I'm sure. Then, nor does it now. How many of you are facing the same trial? How many of you this morning facing the same struggles? Maybe you find yourself in the same dilemmas day in and day out, day in and day out. Maybe God is trying to get your attention to just faithfully endure. I mean, you've given Him the problem, you've sought Him with all your heart, and still it's the same day in and day out. It's still in your pathway. It's not moving. Just trust Him faithfully and endure. And so we see that there's a faithfulness to endure here, but then they were to patiently endure. patiently endure. Sometimes things take time to change. And as they were going day in and day out, they were getting closer to their change. With God's assurance and endurance, we can accomplish what He wants us to. Let me mention something else. Not only do we see, if we're going to take Jericho, and we're going to glean from the life of Joshua, we know that we have to look at the particular details, and we've seen that. It was a restricted place, restless place, religious place. The plans of taking Jericho, a place, there's assurance there, endurance there. We have to maintain those things. But then, number three, there was something else here, and we'll be through. There's the presence of God at Jericho. I want you to notice. In verse number three, the Bible says, "And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the priest shall," notice this, "bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets." I want you to notice something about the presence of God here. Jericho wasn't warred, it was taken. This wasn't a war, it was taken. In verse number 3, there were men of war that marched around the city, but they didn't fight. Verse number 3, "And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war." There was men of war involved that marched the city, but they didn't fight. In verse number 4, there were priests that marched the city. And priests were always excluded from battle, but they didn't war. And so we have here, marching around this city, we have men of war that didn't fight. We have priests that are always excluded from battle. Again, but then in verse number 4, we have the ark. What is the scriptures telling us here? Do we have to always fight our battles? I mean, the priests are here and they're always excluded from battle. There was an emphasis on the ark here. If you remember, it was the carrying of the Ark of the Covenant that got them through the Jordan River. On the inside, actually on the inside of the Ark of the Covenant, were 3 things. It was the manna. It was Aaron's rod that budded. And it was the 10 Commandments. And so on the inside of the Ark, it was literally the provisions of God, the power of God, and the precepts of God. And so while the Levites were carrying this Ark of the Covenant and through the Jordan River, and the Jordan River would flow back on a heap, and they passed over on dry ground, it was God's presence with them, His provision being with them, His power being with them, His precepts being with them. And now here at Jericho, they weren't warring Jericho, they were taking Jericho. And see, the men of war, as they encircled Jericho, they weren't having to fight. And the priests were included in this march. It was the Ark of the Covenant that was being carried. And of course, this is a sign of God's presence. And so there was a heavy, heavy emphasis on God's presence here. Listen, if we want our restricted places to be dissolved, we have to insert God's presence. We have to have God's presence. We have to marinate our situation in God's presence. That's in prayer and reading of His Word. God has assured of the victory, but with the ark, it brought comfort to them to patiently continue and to trust the plan of God. Think about this for a moment. They were carrying that Ark of the Covenant around Jericho. One day, they would rest, pick it back up and go. Day 2, they would carry it around and rest. Somewhere in the middle, possibly, maybe they got a little weary, and maybe they doubted. But they had to remember what was inside the Ark of the Covenant, the manna that God fed them with all them years. And so maybe, just maybe, when they got a little weary and they wondered if God was going to provide the defeat of Jericho, maybe, just maybe, from time to time, they would have to remember what was on the inside of that ark. The ark of God, not only the manna that God faithfully fed them with, but Aaron's rod that budded speaks of God's power. You remember Aaron's rod that budded the contest? It was when a rod per tribe of Israel, 12 rods were placed, and it was a contest. And whoever's rod was budded the very next day, it was God's finger saying, "That's my man, the high priest of Israel." And the very next day, it was Aaron's rod that was budded. It had almonds on it. It was a dead, lifeless stick. And by God's power, he created and caused the stick to bud and have life come out of it. Maybe those priests, maybe the children of Israel, maybe even Joshua, as they were going around that city, day one, day two, day three, maybe they would, you know, they'd park it for the night. They'll get up again. The scriptures say that. And they'll get up and go again. And maybe they got discouraged. And, man, I wonder if this thing, I wonder if God's really going to take care of this. Well, Aaron's rod that budded it is in this covenant, Ark of the Covenant. God can take a dead, lifeless thing and allow life to come from it. God, there is the manna that's in here, and God fed the children of Israel for 40 years. And also the Ten Commandments are in here, his precepts, his holiness. God's not going to let anything get by. And so I can imagine how day in and day out, if doubt or worry or confusion might set in, that they would remember by that Ark of the Covenant that God will provide. He'll provide his power. He'll provide his provision. He will provide his precepts, his guidance in the scriptures to get us through. I want to say this morning that there are some strongholds from time to time that have to go. Restricted places. Places that are barred and bolted. But you see, we have the presence of God. Those of us that are saved and know we're saved, we know he has the power. We know he is provider. We know he is the living scriptures. He is the word of God. Amen. So by those things this morning, we can too take Jericho. And so we see the presence of God at Jericho. And we see that played out. And it's inserted in chapter number 4. Where it says, "And the seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns." Just inserted right there. But I want to say that it was much, much necessary being there. It's the presence of God that leads us, that guides us, that protects us, that sustains us. This morning, I'm not sure where you're at in your Canaan land. You might be at a stronghold such as Jericho, Ai. You might be facing one of the giants that was in the land. But I want to say that that's your land. We have rights to the abundant Christian life. God didn't save anyone to live in defeat. There is a high life. The real high life is knowing Jesus in allowing him to unlock the bolts and the bars we have in our life and to evade those areas so that we can render praise to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we love you, we praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, I pray this morning that somehow, some way, something was said that could be a blessing and be a help, Lord, to your people. Help us, Lord, to prevent these places from happening, but if they do happen, help us to, by your assurances and power, help us take those places so that we may bring praise and honor and glory to you. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.